begin by telling you something so I can message you. And that is this: if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ today, never accepted Christ as your Lord, I'm just going to tell you real plain, the devil already has you right where he wants you.
Amen.
And he's probably not going to bother you because, again, he's got you right where he wants you. If you have accepted Jesus, but you're not serving him the way that you should, he probably is not going to bother you much either. Because, again, if you're kind of lackluster in how you serve him, he's kind of got you right where he wants you to, and he's probably not going to be much of a problem. But if you are a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, who's seeking to do the will of God in your life, then I'm here to tell you this morning that Satan will come and he will afflict you. Now, this morning we're going to look at a text, and it's in the book of Acts, chapter 14. And we're going to see some of the ways that Satan will attack us. Although, I'm just going to give you two this morning, but I'm going to say this: these are not the only ways that Satan will attack you if you seek to be faithful to God. And the main idea of this message is about enduring. Okay? And the message title this morning is to never give up. Never give up in Acts, chapter 14. We're going to begin at verse 7. And we're going to read verse 22. We're going to talk about never giving up, no matter what happens. Beginning verse 7 in Acts 14, the Word of God says, "And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent from his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. It says, and he leaped up and walked. Verse 11 says, And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying, In the speech of the Lycaonians, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Sirius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifices with the people. Which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying and saying, Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made the heaven and the earth and the sea, and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifices unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel of that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." Never. Frank Moore, would you lead us in prayer?
Father, we just thank you for this privilege to be in your house and continue to worship you this week. We invite you to come to us, Lord God, soften our hearts and open our eyes to this word you have.
If ever there was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ that could have given up, who should have given up, it was the Apostle Paul. And if ever there was a follower of Jesus who had every right to throw in the towel and quit, it was the Apostle Paul. Now, friends, I'm just going to be blunt with you this morning. Paul endured more in a month for the cause of Christ than all of us have put together in our life. That's the truth. Now, if you ever think you had to endure something for Jesus, let me tell you something. Maybe you did, but I guarantee you, you have never had to suffer the way the Apostle Paul had to suffer. But you know what? Paul never gave up. Paul never quit. And today, if you are truly a follower of Jesus Christ who is seeking to do the will of God, then I want you to know this morning, it is not going to be easy. You're going to have your failures. Other people are going to fail you. Some people will betray you. The devil is going to come, and he is going to be relentless in how he will oppose you, and he's going to use all kinds of people and all kinds of circumstances to hinder you and hinder your progress for the Lord. You know, often, I'll just say it this way, we shoot ourselves in the foot. We face a lot of trials and difficulties in this life, that, if I'm honest, they're self-inflicted.
Amen.
I mean, a lot of times people come to me as their pastor with problems, and as we talk, we figure out real quick, they caused it themselves, okay? And we all do. That happens. But you know, often, though, a lot of the trials we face in this life are a result of our faithfulness to the Lord Jesus. And so just know, if you're serving, it's not going to be easy. But friends, no matter what it is you face, you must never give up. You must never throw in the towel. You must never quit. You must persevere. And you must fight the good fight of faith as long as there is breath in your body to do so.
Amen.
And to help you do that, I want to look at what Paul had to endure here in Acts chapter 14. Now, friends, these events happened on Paul's first missionary journey. And I'm here to tell you, what happened to him here in Acts 14 was just the tip of the iceberg, if you will, concerning the difficulties that Paul was going to have to face as he sought to do God's will. But you know, if Paul could endure and continue on, then there is no reason, friends, that you and I cannot do the same today. And today, as individual believers, we need to adopt the motto that we are never going to give up, that we are never going to quit. And as a church, we need to adopt the motto that we are never going to quit, we are never going to give up for our service to the Savior is concerned. So what do we learn here in Acts 14 from Paul about never giving in, never quitting where our service to God is concerned? Well, the first thing I bring out here this morning in this text, Paul and Barnabas, they were in Lystra. And the first problem they had, the first problem they encountered, was that Satan was hard at work to deceive the people of Lystra. Look at verses 12 and 13 again. He was working hard to deceive them. Now, Paul has stood up. Paul has preached the gospel. He has given them the word of God. And he sees this man in the audience who is lame and who cannot walk. And so he commands him to stand up, and indeed the man does. And look at what happens next. It says verse 12. It says, verse 11, it says, the people saw what Paul had done, and they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of the Lycaonians, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. It says, and they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief favorite. Two missionaries had come specifically to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as Paul was preaching, like I said, he noticed this man. The Bible says in verse 8 that he had been lame like this since his mother's womb. This man had never walked a single step in his life. According to verse 8, in that moment, Paul perceived this man had faith. And so in verse 10, with a loud voice, Paul commanded him to stand and walk by the power of God. And the crippled man, he didn't just stand up. The Bible says he leaped. Amen. He leaped up and began to walk. But what happened very quickly, the people of Lystra determined that Paul and Barnabas must be gods. And they even gave them the names of their gods. Again, they called Barnabas Jupiter. They called Paul Mercurius. Let me tell you something, friends. The devil deceived these people. And the devil is still doing the exact same thing in our day-to-day.
Amen.
He doesn't want anyone to give God any glory for anything.
Amen.
He doesn't want to see the Lord Jesus get any of the glory. And he sure doesn't want to see anybody believe in Jesus or have faith in Jesus. So Satan propagates one lie after another. And today, he has so many tools at his disposal to spread his deceit. Today, Satan is using television and radio and internet and social media platforms to spread his lies. And man, there are so many voices out there clamoring to be heard. And so while back, he had some videos that we watched, and it was the McDowells. They were father and son talking. It was apologetics about having to defend your faith. And I liked something that one of them said. You know, the devil's got this lie going around in our world today that, you know, Frank can have his truth, and Jeff can have his truth, and Bryce can have his truth, and Debbie can have her truth, and I can have my truth, and we can all be right. I got news for you. That is a lie. Okay? And let me explain how that's lie. I love the illustration that McDowell's used. Barbara, Chris, what color is this phone?
Black.
It's black. Right? Everybody agree this phone is black? All right, let me tell you something. If Derek were to say, no, I think it's pink, and Larry would say, no, it's yellow, and Jonathan back there would say, no, I think it's red, and I would say, well, I think it's white. Well, guess what? We can all be wrong. But we can't all be right.
Amen.
Think about that. We can't all be right. The truth is the truth. Now, and it's not just willy-nilly, I'm blind, it's just me thinking, it's like, no. That was what the devil's doing today through social media, through the internet, through television, through all this technology we have. He is propagating his lies, and he's got people today so confused they don't know which end is up. And then what do? Well, we carry these little computers around with us everywhere we go, don't we? So that we can take Satan's lies with us all day long.
Yeah.
And in addition to all the technology that Satan is using to propagate his lies, he's also using people.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you one group he's using today. Politicians. You've heard me say it. I'm going to say it again. You know how to tell a politician's lying? His lips are moving, or her lips are moving. That's how you can tell when they're lying. And I'm telling you something about our politicians today. They are not seeking to give any glory to the Lord, but rather they only want the glory for themselves. And they tell one lie after another. Man, they're pretty bold about it anymore. I mean, you know, they're telling lies now that, I mean, if anybody's just paying attention, you know what they're saying is wrong.
Yeah.
I heard the White House press secretary say this week that the border crossings were down 90%. Everybody laughed. Why? Because you've been watching TV, haven't you? Really, does she think we're that stupid? Watch the news and see how many people are coming from. You know that's not true. And then I love what the politicians do. Instead of saying, well, we're lying, you know what they say? Well, we are spinning the facts to support our narrative. Have you ever had to spin? Political spin, you know what that means? It means they're liars. It means they are not telling the truth. Rather, they are telling you what they want you to hear. And then there's the media. Again, nothing but a bunch of professional liars who are telling us what they want us to hear rather than just simply reporting the facts and the truth. In the school system, our children are taught one lie after another. They've been taught the lie of evolution for decades now, that there is no God, that you're just an evolutionary accident. Can I say it again? You know, I don't have to work real hard to convince you. A lot of schools, kids are out of control, right? I mean, that's one reason a lot of people homeschool now, right? Because they don't like what's going on in the school system. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to lie to these children, and you're going to tell them that they're an evolutionary accident, that they just evolved from an ape, then don't be surprised when they act like apes.
Yeah.
But if you tell them that they are the product of a divine God who created them in his image, and that their life has meaning and it matters, guess what? They probably act different.
Man.
Life would matter then. But no, we're going to teach them evolution. And we're going to lie to them. And then now they're being taught the lies that the homosexual lifestyle and the transgender lifestyles are okay in an effort to normalize these things in our society today. Well, I got news for you. God says in Leviticus chapter 18, when a man lies with a man as he does with a woman, he says it is an abomination.
Amen.
That is what God said. And if you go back to the book in the Revelation, and you see when all things come to an end, and you see John looking in heaven, and he describes the vision of heaven, the pearly gates, and the streets of gold. He says this, he says, there will no wise enter in anything that worketh a liar that is an abomination.
Amen.
It's a sin, I'm sorry. But boy, the devil has got so many people convinced today, oh, it's okay. It's normal. No, it's not. is wrong. It is a sin, okay? I mean, heck, what are we doing now in some of our major cities? We're making the criminals the victims, and the victims the criminals. We have lost our minds in America. But you know, now, what do they say out in San Francisco? I believe it was, as long as you don't steal over $900 when you shoplift, they won't do anything to you. What do they say? It's okay to steal.
Yep.
I got news for you. God says it is.
Amen.
God says it's a sin. But yet, the devil has so many people so confused. And Satan is even spreading his lies today in what I call religious institutions by spreading these lies such as a works religion. I mean, God's word teaches. God's word teaches we're saved by the grace of God through our faith.
Amen.
Not by our works.
Amen.
Ephesians 2 is real plain. If you get to heaven, then you're going to do it God's way, not yours. And B, if you get to heaven, it's going to be by the grace of God through your faith in Christ. It's going to be about what God did for you and not about what you've done for God. Okay?
Amen.
But yet we're propagating these lies in the church today that salvation is by works. Or, get this, there's even churches today that are propagating this lie that there are other ways other than Jesus to be saved. Oh, I'm sorry, Jesus said, I am the way.
Amen.
He did not say that he is a way. Well, friends, the devil's a liar, and I could go on all day about how hard he's working to deceive people in our world today, but I'm going to move on to my next point, and that is how we can combat the lies that Satan is propagating. How do we do this? Well, let's look on the text here, and look at verses 14 through 17. In Acts chapter 14, look at verses 14 through 17. They have come, they have proclaimed that Paul and Barnabas must be gods. And look at verse 14. It says, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, it says they rent their clothes. They tore their clothes. They were just in grief. They were grieved about this. It says, and they ran in among the people, crying and saying, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn. Listen to this. Turn from these vanities unto the living God.
Amen.
Which made the heaven and the earth and the seas and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, and that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and the fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. How did they combat the lies, the deceit that Satan was propagating that day? It's real simple how they did it. There's only one remedy for combating Satan's lies. And how you combat lies? With the truth.
Amen.
With the truth. That's how we combat Satan's lies. With the truth of God's word. But in order to combat lies with the truth, what do we have to do?
Read it.
We have to know God's word, don't we? And to know God's word, what do we have to do? We have to spend time with it every day and get in it, read it, know what it says. Because I'm going to tell you something, friends. You are just an all-day sucker if you neglect the word of God. Because you're painting a real big target on yourself, and Satan sees it, and he goes, this person don't know what the word of God says. Listen, if you don't know the truth, how in the world are you going to recognize a lie when Satan presents it to you?
Amen.
We were in our Sunday school class, teenagers, this morning. We were about the temptation of Christ. Three times the devil tempted Jesus. Three times. You know what Jesus said? It is written. You know why? Because he went to the truth of God's word to combat Satan's lies.
Amen.
And if you're going to do it, you better know what God's word says. When Satan deceived these people into thinking that Paul and Barnabas were gods, what did Paul and Barnabas do? Did they soak it in and enjoy it? Hey, Barnabas, they think we're gods. This is awesome. Is that they? No, that is not what they. That is not what they did. Did they shrink away in fear? Were they afraid to combat the lies? No, that's not what they did. Did they just say, resolve themselves, and say, oh, well, there's nothing we can do about it. These stupid people think we're gods. Let's just move on. No, that ain't what they did either. What they did do was proclaim the truth of God's word. When these people said that Paul and Barnabas were gods, Paul quickly corrected them and tried his very best to redirect them to Jesus. Paul told them to turn from the vain things they had been serving and instead turn to the one true living God. And as much as I hate to say this, I'm going to say it. Today, church, Satan is doing a far better job propagating his lies to the world than the church is telling the world the truth.
Amen.
The truth, especially that Jesus. Satan is doing a far better job redirecting the glory to mortal men and rather than we are giving all the glory to God. And I'm telling you something, church, it burdens me today how afraid the people of God have become to proclaim the truth. What are they going to do, cancel us? I got news for you. There have been people trying to cancel me for years. And I'm still up here preaching the word of God. The only way they're going to cancel me is if I let them. I'm going to be telling the truth, okay? But we seem to be so afraid of telling the truth. I don't understand. Let's be honest, friends. There's a lot of people in the church today, they talk a good game when they're in the church house, when they're around other people that believe what they believe. But you get them out in the world, you get them in the workplace, you get them out in the marketplace, you get them out in the neighborhood, and they seemingly have nothing to say.
Amen.
We're afraid of proclaiming the truth. Let me proclaim some truth this morning that the church seems to be afraid to proclaim today. The church today seems to be afraid to proclaim the truth that abortion is murder. Amen?
Amen.
It is murder, isn't it? We seem to be afraid to tell that truth. We're afraid to refute the lie of evolution by telling the world that God created all things. I hate to say this. I think we're afraid to say it because I tell the world that I go out and tell people I think God created it. Everyone would be like, I'm nuts. You believe that lie of evolution? I'm going to be honest with you. I think it takes more faith to believe that all these little things happened in a certain chain of events by accident than it does to believe that a sovereign God just created it.
Amen.
Frank was in my class for evangelism. We talked about, people who believe in evolution. I got a question for you. You're an evolutionist. Let me ask you this. You ever seen that eight-to-man chain that Darwin came up with? You've seen the picture. It's been on the science classroom walls in the schools, the eight-to-man. Here's a question. If we evolved, why are there still apes? Why are there still apes? The beginning of the chain is still here. The end of the chain, man is still here. Doesn't it kind of stand to reason that the beginning of the chain is here and the end of the chain, everything in between ought to be here too? They never found anything in between ape and man. You know what they call it? The missing link. You know why they call it the missing link? Because ain't no one ever found one. Do you see the silliness of buying into this? I have a whole lot easier time just believing God created all things. We're afraid to proclaim that truth because we don't want people thinking we're nuts. And then, there are a lot of people afraid to proclaim this truth out in public, that two men being married to each other is wrong, or two women being married to each other is wrong. We're afraid to state the very obvious truth that if someone is born a male, then he is going to be a male all of his life. Mm-hmm. And if someone is born a woman, then she will be a woman all of her life. And I got news for you. I don't care if a guy has surgery. I don't care if he puts a dress on. He is still a guy.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of listening to people that were born men that are still men call them men. It's a lie, friends. It is a lie. And we need to refute that lie.
Amen.
And in addition to this, so many of God's people are afraid to tell this very simple truth that there's only one way to get to heaven.
Amen.
And that one way is Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be blunt with you this morning. If there's never been a moment in your life where you pray or you call on Jesus to come into your heart and life and ask Him to save you and ask Him to forgive you, I'm going to be just blunt with you. You're lost. Yeah. You are lost in your sin, and you are bound to spend eternity in hell. And the only way you're going to avoid hell is if you call on Jesus in faith and ask Him to save you and believe in faith. Bible says Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen. I mean,
that's the only way. And I don't care if the world likes that message or not, it is the truth.
Amen.
You know, I know it because God says so. God says so. I'm going to say it again, I've said it before. Friends, we've got to quit worrying about what the world thinks and just tell the truth.
Amen.
And you'll never be honest if you're afraid to offend. That's a fact. You cannot be honest if you're afraid to offend. Now, I am not saying that we have to go out here and deliberately try to offend people. But I don't want you to do that. I'll say this, we cannot worry whether or not someone's going to be offended if we tell the truth.
Amen.
We just need to tell the truth. This brings me to my third point, that's Satan's next tactic. And that is, these lies and these deceit don't work. Guess what Satan's going to do next? He's going to up his game, and he's going to attack you. And he may attack you verbally, he may attack you mentally, and he also might attack you physically. Look at verse 19 in the text. It says, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people in Lystra, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. You know, bigless people never ceases to amaze me. I mean, think about this text, what we're reading here. One moment, these people think Paul and Barnabas are gods. And the very next moment, they're stoning Paul, trying to kill him. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the triumphal entry when Jesus came into Jerusalem and all them people were shouting their praises to him. And just a few days later, they're all shouting, like, crucify. Aren't human beings crazy?
We are. Yeah.
We are. We're so fickle. Man, we can be embarked this one day and embarked something else the next day. I don't understand why we're that way, but we are. Notice it says it was certain Jews who came from Antioch and Iconium. And these Jews came into Lystra and persuaded from the people to stone Paul. Let me ask you, who do you think put it on those Jews' hearts to come in and stir the people up? Satan. That's the very one who would deceive these Jews into rejecting Jesus and his given eternal life. Satan is the one who brought these Jews to the Lystra and used them to stir the people against Paul. You know why? Because he did not want these people in Lystra to believe on Jesus.
Amen.
He didn't want to see anybody be saved. Today, friends, I'm going to tell you, if you resolve yourself that you are going to follow Jesus, get yourself ready. Because real quick, being a true follower of Christ is not easy. And I'm going to say this, being a true follower of Christ, hear me, church, means you've got to be a witness for Jesus. Because isn't that the main thing he left the church here to do?
Amen.
And when you begin to do the Lord's will, when you begin to go out into the world and you begin to try to counter the lies of Satan with the truth of God's word, you better ready yourself because Satan will oppose you.
Amen.
He will attack you. He will send those who will attack you verbally. They will try to destroy your credibility by spreading slanderous lies about you. They will call you names. They will belittle you. If that doesn't work, he will begin to attack you mentally. He will try to remind you of all the times that you have failed the Lord. He will remind you of how others, people, have hurt you and how others have betrayed you and let you down. Because he knows if he can get you focused on that, you're going to be ineffective in your service to him today. And if the verbal and mental attacks don't work, then he will resort to physical attacks. He might attack your health. Isn't that what he did to Job?
Man.
He attacked his health. He might do to you what he did to Paul here in Acts 14. That is stir people up to attack you physically. I'm going to tell you something. In my 30 years of ministry, out here in the world, I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about out here in the world, visiting with people, talking with people, trying to bring people to Christ. In my 30 years of ministry, I have been cussed out. I've had people threaten to turn off. I've had a couple of guns. Years ago, I was 25 years old. I was serving in my first church. There was an elderly woman in the church who was sick, very sick. She wanted me to come see her. Man, another man in the church wanted to see her. Guess what? When I got out of my car, I saw her neighbors. They were sitting on the front porch, about 6 or 7 year old men. They were drinking beer. They were having a good old time. They were intoxicated. There ain't no doubt in my mind. And when they saw this book in my hand, they began to mock us. They began to call us names. I ignored them. I went up and knocked on the door. The lady's niece let us in. We went in. We had our visit with her. And when we came back out, guess what they did? They began to mock us again. And as I was trying to get into my vehicle, guess what? A beer bottle went right by my head. One of them threw a glass, empty glass bottle at me. Then they threw another. Then they threw another. God looked at what we're going to do. I said, get in the car. We're leaving. That's what we're going to do. There were 7 or 8 of them. I said, we're not going to try to fight them. I said, we're just going to leave. Let them be. You're going to go to the workplace tomorrow and start trying to tell people about Jesus, and everybody in the workplace is going to get saved. Don't think you're going to start walking around the neighborhood telling everybody about Jesus, and everybody going to love you, because everybody ain't going to love you. Amen. Don't think you're going to refute the lie Satan is propagating with the truth of God's word, and everybody's going to have a parade for you, okay, because they're not. It goes with the territory, friend. And if you seek to be faithful, then Satan is going to attack you. And I'm telling you, the more you resist his attacks, the more fierce his attacks will become. That is just part of being a follower of Christ. So yeah. Get yourself ready. And this brings me to my final point, and that is how to deal with it when he attacks you. I love this. This is probably one of my favorite things in the book of Acts right here that Paul does. Look at verse 20 through 22. Says, howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, Paul has just been stoned. The people in the city thought they killed him. It says he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe, another city. But it says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we through much tribulation, much enter into the kingdom.
Yeah.
Deal with the attacks of the devil. When he attacks you, he will. You got to do that. First of all, you must resolve yourself right now that you're never going to quit. That you're never going to give up. And second, you got to learn how to be bold.
Amen.
Think about this. After being stoned to the point that the people of the city thought Paul was dead, Paul came to and got up. And what did they do? They departed and they went to the city of Derbe. Was Paul done? Did Paul walk into Derbe and say, hey, Barnabas, we went to the Lystra, we preached the gospel there, and they almost killed me. Maybe we just better hush. Maybe we just better keep what we know about Jesus to ourselves. Is that what they did? No, it wasn't. When they got to Derbe, what did he do? He continued to preach the gospel and to tell people about the salvation that God had brought to man through Jesus Christ. Amen. He didn't worry how the people of Derbe were going to respond. He just worried about telling them the truth. And so he proclaimed the word of God to them, and he proclaimed the gospel. He did not give up, even though after what happened in Lystra, he had every reason to. But Paul wasn't done. Because verse 21 says that after he got done preaching the gospel, Derbe, you get what he did next? He went back, listen to him, he went back to Lystra, the very place where he had almost lost his life for preaching the word of God. That's what you call being bold.
Amen.
That's what you call a fearless Christian. And then get this. That's not the end of his boldness. After going back to Lystra, it says he went to Iconium and to Antioch. Oh yeah, that's the very places where those Jews came from that came to Lystra that stirred the people up to try to kill Paul to begin with. Honey, that's bold. And I'm just going to be blunt with you today, and I don't care if I hurt your feelings. I'm going to tell you the truth. It's that kind of boldness that the people of God are lacking today.
Amen.
It's that kind of boldness. It's that lack, pardon me, it's that, this lack of boldness that's got the church in America in the shape that it's in today. It is this lack of boldness that has gotten our nation in the shape that it is also in today. Friends, God's people need to quit making excuses. We need to quit worrying about offending people. We need to get busy proclaiming the truth.
Amen.
And Paul proclaims the truth in verse 22 at the end of the verse when he says that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. What's he saying? He's saying, if you make up your mind to be a true follower of Jesus, it is not going to be easy. Amen. Let me just say something. No one ever said it would be. There is nowhere in the Bible where it says that it is going to be easy to follow Jesus, because it isn't. But friends, regardless of the trials and the tribulations that come our way because of our faithfulness to Christ, we as God's people must endure, and we must continue on, and we must never quit.
Amen.
And this brings me to the conclusion of the whole matter. How Paul was able to press on and never give up. Because he tells us in two of his epistles how he did. The secret to never giving up as a child of God. First part is in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. I think if people here today really need to hear this. In verse 13, he said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." Listen to this. "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before."
Amen.
The first secret to pressing on is to forget the past. Let me tell you something. If you get hung up on the time in the past where you failed God, where you failed the Lord, dragging that with you, and you're still hung up on it, and you're still focused on it, let me tell you what you need to do this morning. Come to the altar and confess to God, "Lord, I missed you. Lord, I failed you. Lord, I made a mistake. And I want you to forgive me." You know what it says, 1 John 1, verse 9 says, "If we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness."
Amen.
Guess what that means? It means once you confess it to God, and once you ask his forgiveness, he forgives you, and it's done. Here's the problem, okay, and this is what I've seen for 30 years now as a pastor. Here's the problem. God will forgive you like that.
Amen.
But we all have a hard time forgiving ourselves. And so what do? We keep dragging that guilt with us everywhere we go. And it's a big, heavy weight that we just drag behind us everywhere we go. And what does it do? It hinders us as we try to move forward. And so if you have failed God, and if you're still hung up on a failure that you committed, it might have been this past week, might have been last month, last year, might have been 20 years ago, and you're just all hung up about how you failed God, listen to me. Come up here, confess it, tell God about it, ask him to forgive you, believe that he has, and then forget it.
Yeah.
Leave it right here at the altar and walk away from it, and don't ever bring it up again. You see, the devil wants to keep you focused on your past failures because he knows that when you focus on your failures, it will arrest your forward progress. Friends, listen to me. We have all done things that we regret. We have all done things that we are ashamed of. And maybe you've been dragging that baggage of your past failures behind you for years now. I'm telling you, that baggage is only going to slow you down as you try to run your race. So let go of it and forget it. But maybe your focus isn't on how you failed. Maybe your focus today is on how someone else hurt you. Maybe your focus is on someone who betrayed you. Maybe you're having a hard time letting that go. Maybe you're carrying a grudge, packing a grudge around with you because of how somebody else hurt you. My wife knows I hate to mow grass. And man, did I ever mess up? Because I only got about 2.5 acres I have to mow where we live. For a guy that don't like that grass, I sure do have a lot, okay? But you know why I don't like that grass? Number one, I feel like it is a colossal waste of my life. Okay? You're like, "Man, Lord, I think you put me on this planet for a much loftier purpose and driving around and cutting this grass down every 5 or 6 days." But I'm going to tell you something else. You can say, "Well, preacher, our preacher's nuts." Maybe you're going to walk out there today and you're going to think that. And that's okay, because I'm going to tell you the truth, what preacher is, okay? But you know what, the only reason I don't like to mow? Because when I'm on that gnar, my brain gets thinking. And I start thinking about things that have happened. And I don't know why I let myself do this, but I'm on that mower and I start thinking about things that happened 20 years ago. Then somebody said, somebody said something snotty to me this week, and I'll get focused on that. You know, by the time I get done mowing, I'm mad. Because all I've done is spend 2.5 hours on the lawnmower thinking about all the people that have made me mad, okay? And then I don't like to mow, okay? So that's one of the reasons. Friends, I'm going to just tell you right now, I know that's not productive. It's not productive when I do it, it's not productive when you do it. And you're never going to get anywhere in your spiritual life if you continually hold grudges and bad feelings against other people. Friends, the past is just that. It is the past. And as God's people, we can't let negative things from the past impede our forward progress for the Lord today. Yes, one minute those fickle people in Lystra thought Paul was a god, the next minute they're trying to kill him. And yes, it had been the Jews that stirred these people up to try to kill him. But you know what? Paul didn't ponder on that. Paul didn't get upset about that. Paul didn't hold a grudge about that. You know what he did? He just forgot it. And went to Derby and pressed on.
Yes.
Now Satan would continue to attack Paul. And there would be a lot of people who would hurt Paul. There would be a lot of people who would betray Paul and let Paul down. But Paul didn't let those things get in his way. He did not let those things stop him. He just forgot it and pressed on. Now trust me when I say what I'm about to say. I know that's a whole lot easier to say than do.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I mean, when you have really messed up and you have done something you're ashamed of, it's hard just to say, Lord, forgive me, and then drop it and walk away and not think about it anymore. And when somebody else hurts you or somebody betrays you, it's hard to say, well, Lord, I forgive them. I'm going to let go of this right here, drop it. I'm going to move on. I'm going to move forward. I ain't going to think about this anymore. That's easier said than done, isn't it? But I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to get somewhere in your spiritual life, that's exactly what you're going to have to do. Friends, the past is water under the bridge. We can't undo it or redo it, and we sure shouldn't focus on it. The best thing I think we can do with the past is forget it and press on. That's what Paul did. But there's one more thing that Paul tells us, and I had to bring this up because this just goes hand in hand with what we just read in Acts 14. This is in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. Paul's talking at the end of his life about all the things he faced. And he says, persecutions and afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But listen to this. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me.
Amen.
And serving the Lord, it's really difficult. And it will if you do it right. You know what you need to do? You need to just lean on the Lord for strength. Trust Him to deliver you. That's what you need to do. If we could just put the past behind us today as individuals, as a church, and press forward for the Lord, trusting in Him for all things, well, friends, I'm going to say there's no telling what the Lord might do in your life and what the Lord might do in this church. Difficulties are going to come as you seek to serve the Lord. You're going to have failures in your life as you seek to serve the Lord. People are going to fail you. People are going to hurt you. They're going to betray you. They're going to let you down as you seek to serve the Lord. And the devil will put one obstacle after another in your path as you seek to serve the Lord. So resolve yourself today, friends, to never give up.
Amen.
How we do that? We do it by forgetting the past, by pressing forward, by trusting. That's how we do it. Friends, do not give up.
Amen.
Do not quit. God's with you. And He'll see you through it no matter what you face. If you just put Him first and serve Him. Forget the things that are behind you today. And let's press forward. And let's trust Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for this text, for what it shows us, for what it teaches us, Lord. And when we look at how Paul, Lord, how he failed You, and Lord, he was failing You so miserably that day on the road to Damascus. Lord, You forgave him. And He didn't focus on it anymore. He just forgot it and went on. And Lord, when people failed Him, and when people betrayed Him, and when He was attacked, Lord, He didn't harbor any grudges. He just let it go, and He kept pressing forward. And He didn't allow anything to stop Him from doing what You called Him to do. And Lord, today I pray that You would forgive us, Lord, because, Lord, we're not nearly as faithful doing Your will as Paul was. Too often, Lord, we let things from the past hinder us from moving forward today. Too often, Lord, we let things of this world, obstacles that Satan puts in our way, keep us from pressing on. Well, God, today I pray that as individuals in this church, that we would just adopt that attitude, Lord, and never give up. And I pray, Lord, today as a church, despite anything that may have happened in the past, I pray, God, we'll just forget it, and that we'll press forward, and that we'll never give up. God, if You're willing, one says, who can be against us? Lord, the answer to that is no one. So Lord, help us, Lord, to keep our eyes firmly fixed on you. Do your will. Lord, if there's one here today who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, who is unsure where they spend eternity, if they die today, I pray, Lord, they come and see me as we sing this final hymn this morning. I would love to tell them, Lord, the good news of the gospel that Jesus saves. I'd love, Lord, to introduce them to you today if that would be their desire. And Lord, for those of us who are your people, Lord, help us, Lord, today to let go of the past. Help us, Lord, to let go of the times when we have failed you. Help us, Lord, to let go of the times when others have failed us. Help us, Lord, to let go of all the times that Satan has attacked us. And help us, Lord, just to resolve ourselves today to press on. Help us, Lord, to never give up. To never, but to be faithful each and every day. Have your way now, Lord, in this invitation time. Bring those at the altar that need to come. And we ask it all in Jesus' name.